The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, I love this story. I just got it. Just got it moments ago. In fact, I'm reading the end of it right now. I'll share that with you in just a sec. Hey, welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 5 o'clock hour. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Just before the break, I told you I would give you the story of a well-known model and progressive activist as she responds to the upcoming birth of her human being. Yeah, it's a weird story. And I'll get to that in just a moment, I promise. But it's a great story. Many of you watched the video of the 17-year-old black teenager up in Mansfield that was handcuffed and dragged across the pavement by a police officer in Mansfield. From everything we could gather, the teenager was compliant. He wasn't belligerent. And yet he was treated very poorly by a Mansfield police officer. Well, listen to this headline. Black teen that was dragged forgives cop, says, don't fire him. It's a great story. Listen to this. The 17-year-old who got dragged across the pavement by an arresting officer, despite being handcuffed and compliant, says he forgives the cop for doing him wrong, but he would appreciate an apology. D'Angelo Chaplin says, even though Officer Jordan Moore's actions are inexcusable, he's not one for holding grudges. He knows what the cop did, has his family and his community in Mansfield, Ohio, justifiably upset. But he feels Moore's paid suspension for the dragging incident is fine, even if others disagree. The teenager says he doesn't want the officer to get fired. Listen to this. Here is a black teenager who was wronged by a police officer. I think the police officer was white. I'm not positive. But listen to this. The teenager says he doesn't want the officer to get fired because he'd be without a paycheck for his family. And says as long as the police officer learns from his mistake and takes the training necessary before returning to his job, he's okay with that. He also says he'd be down to speak with Moore, too, as long as the officer is prepared to make a genuine apology. Well, isn't that something? Now, he admits. He says he's lost trust in police and gets anxiety now when he sees cop cars, something that he never felt before. And I understand that. He tells us the attention he's been getting is a bit overwhelming, but he does appreciate the support. The Mansfield police chief said Moore, that's the policeman, Moore's response was found to be improper, which resulted in the misapplication of force used on a person that was handcuffed in custody and offering no resistance. So he has been suspended until January 11th. Cops were called to the scene because D'Angelo's father was allegedly threatening to have his dog attack his roommate. His father is facing charges of menacing, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest, and so forth. Now, if we could have more responses like that, and there have been no riots in Mansfield, no burning police cars, no burning of police stations, no looting. And maybe a good part of that is because of the attitude of this young man. He's 17 years old. He says, yeah, I was mistreated. What the police officer did to me was wrong. But he doesn't want him fired. He wants him to be trained. He wants him to learn from his lesson. But he, listen, he doesn't want revenge. May his tribe increase. What a difference between what's happening in Philadelphia. Most of you are very aware, probably, of what's going on in Philadelphia. Massive riots, massive looting, thousands, not dozens, not hundreds, but according to the Philadelphia Police Department, thousands of people looting stores, burning, rioting, and so forth. And because a black man who has had a history of run-ins with the law, he has a long criminal record. Now, does that in and of itself justify being shot? Of course not. But it has to be taken into consideration. A long history of illegal behavior, a long police record. In addition, a long record of mental illnesses, mental problems, and so forth. He also was an inspiring rapper, and he often rapped about shooting police. Now, again, does that justify him being shot? No, it doesn't, but it certainly is part of the consideration. All right, he had a knife. The responding police officers ordered him repeatedly, drop the knife, drop the knife, drop the knife. He didn't, and he charged them. We have this on video. He charged them. The police officers opened fire, and sadly, tragically, he died. Now, whether the shooting was justified or not, the legal system will have to determine that. But the family is saying it was unjustified, and they called for an ambulance because he was acting irrationally, had a knife, he was threatening people, and they called for an ambulance. And so the family attorney called a press conference and said, we didn't call for the police, the family didn't call for the police, the family called for an ambulance. Now, think, all right? Use the brain that God gave you. If medical people, the EMS 911 is called, and they are told, we have a relative here who has mental problems. He's got a weapon, and he's threatening people. Can you send an ambulance? Do you honestly think that the first responders, the EMS, the ambulance is going to come without police? Are you with me? He's got a weapon. Now, it's a tragic ending. But as a result, hundreds of people have been arrested. Dozens of police officers have been injured, some hospitalized. And hundreds of businesses looted and destroyed. Contrast that with a 17-year-old man, young man, teenager in Mansfield, Ohio, who says, yeah, I was treated wrong. But I don't want the police officer fired. He needs to support his family. I just want him to learn a lesson, and I'd really appreciate an apology. If we could just have more families and young men with this attitude. But today, it's all about vengeance, getting even. It's a good story. Good young man. All right, when we come back, this activist model and her future, well, human being.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
This isn't news, but have you noticed, at least pre-COVID, how much more extravagant things are today than they were several years ago? For instance, weddings. All right. Joy and I got married in 1969, and the standard extravagant wedding was you got married at your local church, you had a reception in the fellowship hall of the church, you had a nice cake and punch. That was it. I mean, that was standard. That was what was accepted, and that's what we had. We had a beautiful reception in the fellowship hall of the church. We had a beautiful cake. We had good punch, and that's what everybody did. Today, at least pre-COVID, today you got to have a huge reception, an extravagant restaurant or banquet facility, a full sit-down meal that costs thousands and thousands of dollars. And then for your honeymoon, you got to go to a private chalet in the Swiss Alps. Joy and I went to a state lodge 45 minutes from the church where we got married and had a wonderful time, by the way. We got snowed in on our honeymoon. Oh, yeah, couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. Yeah, we got snowed in on our honeymoon. It was great. It was great. But seriously, it was a lodge, inexpensive, beautiful, but inexpensive lodge, 45 minutes from where we got married. That's what everybody did. Today, it is extravagant. Well, also, the gender reveal. You see this on Facebook, on the internet, social media all the time. These extravagant gender reveals. Is the baby going to be a boy or a girl? And they have all these things, you know, pink stuff and blue stuff, and they shoot things up in the air. And yeah, okay. Well, you may have heard of the model and progressive activist. She's also a Bernie Sanders supporter, Emily Ratajkowski. I have no idea whether I pronounce that correctly, but I assume it's at least close. Emily Ratajkowski. Well, she is pregnant with her first child, and they are making plans for their gender reveal party. 18 years from now. Yeah, 18 years from now. Emily Ratajkowski is pregnant with her first child and will not be announcing the child's gender until the child is 18 and can choose for themselves. You hear me refer to the loony left? Every once in a while, somebody gets upset. You shouldn't say that, loony left. Well, I talk about the wacky right. Why can't I talk about the loony left? And who in their right mind would not consider this completely whacked out? She is a leftist progressive. She is a supporter of Bernie Sanders, socialism. So anyway, here's what she says, and I quote, "When my husband and I tell friends that I'm pregnant, their first question after congratulations is almost always, do you know what you want?" And of course, talking about, you know, boy or girl. "We like to respond that I'm not making this up. This is a quote. We like to respond that we won't know the gender until our child is 18, and then they will let us know. What? Yeah, we don't know whether it's a boy or girl until they're 18, and then they'll tell us. From what planet is this woman? She comes to the conclusion, and I'm quoting, that forcing gender preconceptions onto babies damages them in the long run. I don't like that we force gender-based preconceptions onto people, let alone babies. I want to be a parent that allows my child to show themselves to me. And yet I realize that while I may hope my child can determine their own place in the world, they will, no matter what, be faced with the undeniable constraints and constructions of gender before they can speak or even be born. I used to call myself superstitious, but now I understand it another way. The idea that I could jinx something or the belief that I could project my thoughts in a particular way to bring about a certain result is actually called magical thinking. A coping mechanism one develops to make oneself feel more in control. She concludes her essay by describing the sense of peace she now feels by resigning away from such gendered thinking as well as thoughts about parenting and pregnancy in general. She does, however, refer to this being inside of her as a person. I used to use magical thinking whenever I wanted something to go a certain way. Now, though, I don't try to envision a pink or blue blanket in my arms. I'm too humbled to have any false notions of control. I'm completely and undeniably helpless when it comes to almost everything surrounding my pregnancy. How my body will change, who my child will be, but I'm surprisingly unbothered. Instead of feeling afraid, I feel a new sense of peace. I'm already learning from this person inside my body, and I am full of wonder. Now, here's the bizarre thing. She is a solid abortion supporter, and yet she refers to the person inside of her body. Now, that person is not going to know whether they're a girl or a boy until they're 18. And they're going to give this child no direction whatsoever until 18 about whether a boy or a girl. Can you imagine if they took that attitude towards, like, food? We're not going to force our child to eat. It is nuts. And yet, this has become more and more typical of the far liberal left. They won't know whether their child is a boy or girl until that child tells them when they're 18.